Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably, and you know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean, S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying with us today. I'm excited about having Don Lambro back on the show, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Lambro is chief political reporter at the Washington Times and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is also the author of Fat City and a book that President Reagan liked a lot. And he is one of the smartest guys we know. Many of you see his byline in your newspaper across the country. And he's our good friend. Don, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you back, as always. And Don, I want to jump in right into to the news. I want to get over to U.S. politics in a little bit. But before we do that, we have a ceasefire of some form between Hezbollah and Israel. There's a lot of bad feelings about it. A lot of people are not convinced that it was the right thing to do. A lot of people are concerned that maybe this thing happened, the ceasefire happened ahead of, prematurely. And my question to you is, what do you think about that? And also, who won this war?
Well, of course, the consensus, the conventional wisdom, which is often wrong, is that Hezbollah won it because they simply survived, and the Israeli army, the much-touted Israeli army, which I thought would have a much easier time, and everyone else did, too.
And they did, too.
Was unable to really knock them out. And it has to do with the whole change in guerrilla tactics, terrorist tactics, in these mobile missiles. You put them on a truck, you drive to some hilltop, fire it, and drive away.
Mm-hmm.
We know now that they were operating from places in hospitals, mosques,
yep.
Schools.
Right.
So any retaliation would, the headlines would be Israelis kill innocent people and children. So, when you look at the rubble in southern Lebanon, it's very hard to say, I think, this is my own personal view, that Hezbollah won. I mean, their base of operation is southern Lebanon, and the Israelis essentially reduced the area from which they were operating to rubble. And we read stories now where Hezbollah, during this interregnum or this peace period, presumably, is going to spend its time digging out the rubble and restoring these towns and cities. That is not the sign to me of someone who was victorious.
No.
So we have an uneasy peace here, and we have a situation where the Europeans made big promises for peacekeepers and this UN force, and have not come across. The French have had cold feet and are offering only a small number of troops.
200 people out of 15,000 that they need.
Yes.
And they came ashore. They came ashore in their little rubber ducky boats the other day. By the way, if you saw the video of that, Don, here's the thing. Here's what I don't understand. For the last 15 years, a UN force has been positioned in southern Lebanon to prevent, certainly to identify any weapons. Their primary mission, I understood, was to actually stop Hezbollah from rearming. But we now know that not only did they rearm, they rearmed significantly and very effectively. What makes us think that another UN force is going to do anything any different?
A very legitimate question, and that remains to be seen. I mean, I think this is a situation where both sides were willing to halt to this war, and because both were losing important things, and we're getting hurt, both sides. And So what's going to happen here is I think the Israelis are going to, they're in a period of bitter political debate over what happened with their military and why wasn't it better run, why were reservists who were unprepared and untrained put out there, and there's a lot of complaints from them, and that's a whole political debate in Israel. And then the Hezbollah will use this period to rearm from Iran and from Syria, rebuild, bide their time, and probably, I would think, maybe they will attack again.
Oh, yeah. They haven't changed their attitudes at all. There's no question about that. Stand by, Don. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, I'm going to ask Don if this wasn't really a war between the United States and Iran, and if so, with a straw man of Hezbollah for Iran and Israel for the U.S., and if that's the case, did Iran win this one? And we'll be right back after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don Lambro is our guest.
Say that it lasts just as the time bell rings. Know that life is a gamble all along. Winners or losers, you keep rolling on. So go on and roll the dice. You only live twice. Do it or die.
That's got to be our theme song, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Entrepreneur's theme song. That's the Atlanta Rhythm section from a while back. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the small business advocate. Don Lambro is our guest. And Don, the question that I left us with as we went to the break is, if Israel and was the U.S. straw man in this war, and Hezbollah was Iran's straw man in this war, and to some degree Syria, which I believe that those both of those things are true, who won that war?
Well, I'm not sure. I think, as we said earlier, both sides suffered tremendous damage and casualties. But Iran, I think, thinks it did. It came out of this, at least its side, the Hezbollah, still standing, still in possession of a lot of missiles, mobile missiles, which the Iranians provided to them. And then we see Iran now rejecting the offer for nuclear talks. So they have, this perhaps has steeled them even further to resist the efforts by the Bush administration and by the United Nations and Europe and European officials to get them to sit down to negotiate an end to their nuclear program. They're talking tougher. And in the face of sanctions, and that all has to be worked out through diplomacy, and it will. We have these problems in the world. We shouldn't.
But Don, Iran has been nothing but a problem on a massive scale in terms of lots of lives, including lots of American lives, for almost 30 years, and they have paid no price for that. When are we gonna hold them accountable?
Well, there's a lot of talk about
that. When is the world going to hold them accountable?
Yes. Well, I don't think the world is going to hold them accountable. I don't think Europe wants to step into that direction. But there is a lot of talk here, as you pose this question, among a variety of people about, something has got to be done at some point to prevent them from becoming a dangerous nuclear power and further destabilizing the Middle East cauldron. And which people say we should kind of take out these nuclear facilities, and maybe at some point we will. And there are those who say we should, and we will soon.
Is there are we in the middle of a nuclear showdown with Iran?
I don't think so. I don't think not with Afghanistan and Iraq on our plate. The United States, I don't think, is going to do that. I think we're going to continue on the diplomatic track. I think there will be international sanctions against Iran. And then maybe when those are imposed, that will have an effect. And of course, that prospect is driving oil prices up. And now people are talking about, will we ever reach $100 a barrel? That could have devastating impact on the global economy.
Which would be just fine. That would give Iran a double hit there, because they'd not only get more money for their oil, but it would destabilize their enemies.
It would. But on the other hand, economic sanctions throughout the world, would have an impact on them. We don't know just what kind of sanctions would be imposed, and that's going to take a long time in the diplomatic process. So it's going to be a continuing diplomatic battle, but I don't see in the foreseeable future we're going to have a military confrontation with the United States, the major military power in the world, having so much on its plate right now.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do believe that we may be in the middle of a military, of a nuclear showdown. We may be approaching that, and I think today's going to be a momentous day in that whole affair, because today's the day that Iran is going to basically, and any time now, I think any moment now, they may be releasing their response to the international demands that they not go nuclear. And so we'll see about that. But Iran is a much bigger problem, as far as I'm concerned, than North Korea is.
Well, Iran has announced that they will not. They rejected the offer of nuclear talks.
Yep.
Because they do not agree to the demand for immediate freeze on the enrichment of uranium.
Right.
If they're not going to agree to that, then they're going to have to continue the talk. But that's where we are. It's a standoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a diplomatic standoff.
But while we're diplomatically standing off, they don't stop doing whatever they're doing.
They don't. They're continuing. That's right.
Yeah. So that's what I'm getting at. I'm more concerned about Iran, our relationship with Iran, now than I ever was with Russia, because the Iranians have stated, basically, that they don't care about what happens to even their own people. They have certain goals that they want to accomplish. One of them is the annihilation of Israel, and the U.S. is their enemy, and the leaders of Iran are not reasonable people.
Mm-hmm. No, this guy who is running the government is a crackpot.
I'm a genocide.
And dangerous.
Yep.
And but you know, Israel is going to survive, and it's not going to let anyone threaten its survival. So I could see in the future, if it gets to the point where they feel they are threatened by nuclear arms and annihilation, that the Israelis would just take out those nuclear facilities.
They may. It'll be harder to do, though. Let's move over quickly to U.S. politics. Is Lieberman going to win as an independent in Connecticut?
All the polls say he will. He's way ahead of Ned Lamont, the anti-war candidate who beat him in the Democratic primary, because, number one, Lieberman, the headlines were that Lieberman was beaten by this guy, but Lieberman got 48% of the Democratic vote. That's not chopped liver.
That's right. And they have a weak Republican.
Oh, he's at 4%. So the Republicans out of the picture. So it's a two-man race, really.
That's right.
And Republicans like Lieberman.
They're going to like Lieberman more than they are Lamont, so I think you're right about that. Stand by, quick break, Tim Till. We'll be right back with Don Lambro. More to come. Stay with us.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. Fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
We're back. It's 7 till. There's Van Morrison for you. Don Lambro is our guest. He's chief political reporter at the Washington Times. Don, give us your website, please.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Your website?
Oh, the website. Yeah, www.washingtontimes.com.
And they can find your bylines there, can't they?
You will get our front page, and you'll get all the articles that are in the Washington Times.
And they can type in your name into the search and find your bylines.
They can, right. My column, that's right.
Which you've been writing about politics a lot lately, U.S. politics.
We
talked about Lieberman a minute ago. You believe he's going to win. I think you're right. What has this whole Lieberman episode said to you about the Democrat Party, the National Democrat Party?
Well, after an era of Bill Clinton and triangulation and keeping the left wing of the party at bay and keeping the party united, but in a more perhaps somewhat centrist-leaning direction, now the left is coming out with a fury, and they are in charge, and their anti-war wing has fueled all this, of course, and the war in Iraq. So it's their turn, they think, and they're going to have their candidates. There are going to be a lot of anti-war candidates who are going to challenge Hillary and all the others. And there's going to be a big fight in their party, but that is the history of the Democratic Party, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. What do you think is going to be the? What do you think
could hurt them too?
What do you think is going to happen in the fall, in November?
I would say that I think the Republicans will keep the Democrats at bay and hold on to both chambers.
Really?
But right now, I think that is an open question.
Hmm.
I think the Senate is a very more difficult and problematic effort by the Democrats to try to get the six senators they need to take over that. But the House, I think, is vulnerable. And we don't know how big the wave is. I think I saw Bush's numbers crept up just a little more. Again, it went to 40. Now it's at 42, according to the latest CNN poll. Every incremental increase on Bush's job approval helps the Republicans. There's a number of they're going to have a fantastic turnout also. Don't underestimate the Republican turnout ability. I had a Democratic strategist who has been given that job tell me that we're not going to match the Republicans on voter turnout.
Really?
So they're coming in behind and late on that, the Democrats, that is. But I would say the House is vulnerable, and it depends on Iraq, and it depends on the perceptions of the American people. And but there's a lot of contradiction on the part of a lot of these polls. There's some polls that show that 55% think the country is doing pretty well. I did a story on that recently.
What do you think? What does your story say? What is the result of your analysis of how the country is doing?
Well, it just says that the focus is on that the country is in a sour anti-Republican mood. I would think perhaps anti-incumbent is the better way to put it. They aren't thrilled by the Democrats either, and the polling numbers suggest that they think they're not satisfied with the Democrats. I'm not sure what the Democrats stand for. So to throw out the incumbent, you've got to want to vote for the other person. And although if it's, things are bad enough, you'll just vote to throw out the incumbent. You don't care what the other person is saying. But a combined 55% said that things are going, quote, fairly well. That's 47% of them, or very well, 8%, compared to those who said pretty badly. This is a CNN poll by the Opinion Research Corporation on August 2nd and 3rd. And now you've seen these right track, wrong track. Well, when you ask it right track, wrong track, you get a huge number saying we're on the wrong track. But if you ask, how well are things going in the country? You see how the difference in that question? How you ask the question is gets the answer. So
before
Americans think that things are going pretty well, and I think the jury is out of the House, but I think a lot of incumbents are going to be in trouble. Some Democrats could be in trouble, and some Democrats are.
Before the last election, I asked Steve Forbes on the show that same question, and he said, well, I'll tell you what Chamberlain said to one of his aides in about 1939, talking about the next election. The young man said, sir, what do you think will decide the next election? And he said, events, my dear boy, events. I think that there are a lot of events that can happen between now and then that will make the American electric decide whether they want the devil they know or the devil they don't know. Don, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thanks, Jim.
Don Lambro, ladies and gentlemen, with the Washington Times. He'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.